When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In last week's episode on storytelling, we learned from Donald Davis that there are identity cultures and fortune cultures. We have a heart to see the good parts of our Southern identity go on to future generations. But how do we do that? Join us at the table as we discuss how to carry on that culture.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth,
and we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel
with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table,
so pull up a chair. Welcome back to the table, the Steel Magnolias podcast, here with my sis Lainey. And before we jump in, I haven't asked in a long, long, long time, but it still holds importance. If you are enjoying this podcast, would you pause just for a second and give us a rating and review in the app that you listen in? Just like 5 stars, I love this podcast, whatever. Just one little nugget is all it takes for somebody to have enough to go, oh, yeah, people like this. I should like this. Anyway, the last review we got is from June, and it's almost October, so we need some fresh ones. Yeah, we need fresh perspective.
It's shared. How people find us.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you would do that, that lets people know, should they hit play or not? We think yes, but we need y'all to say yes too. So, okay, this topic is the heartbeat of this podcast. And I don't know, remember back 4 years ago when we first started talking about a podcast?
I'm
looking at you like as if you don't. Well, of course you do. So I thought I would just name real quick some of those reasons, just even before jump into how we're going to answer this question, which neither of us have talked about our notes.
We've talked about nothing. I hope
as to how you answered this question and how I answered it. So it's going to be very interesting. But some of the reasons we initially started this podcast 4 years ago were, number one, we had an influx of new people in our town and in our state that were not familiar with some of the customs and the culture here. Right. So they weren't foreigners from other countries, but they were from other parts of the United States where culture really was quite different from here. And they were scratching their head, or they were taken aback, or whatever. There just was some gap there. And so we thought, well, let's do a podcast. We love talking about this kind of stuff.
Like, yeah, and we love this format. We listen to podcasts, so we thought, well, we could actually do one.
Yes, and so that was another reason. We saw podcasts as like a growing medium, so we thought this was the right way to communicate that. So those are two reasons. The third reason would be we couldn't find another podcast at that time that was talking about Southern culture regularly, that had the history, food, travel, college football, you know, had the very well-rounded, or we hope it's well-rounded, looks at culture. You know, there's some really good food podcasts out there. There's some really good travel podcasts out there. There's some really good things you should have learned in history class sort of podcasts out there. But we really did want to focus on the Southern United States. And so we were having a hard time finding that
regional kind of thing.
Yeah. And then finally, I was ready to start something new. I was a year into being a new mom, and I was kind of ready to work on a project. And so, anyway.
All of those things led to Steel Magnolias Podcast.
Exactly. Now, as we said in the intro, this is a great episode to do on the heels of last week's storytelling culture episode. If you haven't listened to that interview we did with storyteller Donald Davis, definitely go back and check that out. He had a what we call a mic drop moment.
The first question we ask him.
2 minutes into the episode where he spoke about storytelling cultures being prevalent in identity cultures. And he lives in North Carolina where storytelling culture is prevalent. So therefore it must have a strong identity culture. You know, it's answering those questions of who are you? Where'd you come from? Who'd you come from? And I've thought a lot about that conversation.
Girl, I have too.
I've listened to conversations differently. Ones I'm a part of and ones I'm not a part of, right? I even shifted one where I was just at the park with some moms and we were fortune culture. Like it was all about the housing market and just, you know, fortune sorts of topics.
Yeah. And you're like, how can I steer this? How can I steer this?
I'm in a fortune telling, or not fortune telling, but a fortune culture. And I really tried to steer us and start asking questions about their family. And it was just very interesting.
It really is.
But, you know, we came from East Tennessee. That's where our our mom our and dad are from. And where predominantly all of their family history is from there. And then ancestrally, we would be from England, Scotland, and Ireland.
Yeah.
And I've personally never visited those countries, but you have, Lainey. And you said you felt right at home when you visited there because you saw so many similarities there to East Tennessee.
I did. It was, you know, especially the language, some of the things I was hearing, I reckon. I heard that a lot. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought that was like a hillbilly thing.
Even hillbilly.
Look, yes. There were so many things that I was like, oh my gosh, this is my roots.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, thinking about where you come from, who'd you come from, the people, the places, and even landscapes of a place, they can begin to change over time.
Yeah.
I put landscapes in there because I was like, man, we're watching the landscape change all around us. There's cranes all over Nashville. Yeah. There's, you know, land being flattened to build.
Yeah.
And.
But you do have, I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
But I was thinking of, I actually bought a postcard in Scotland that I framed and have hanging here. That mm-hmm. reminded me of East Tennessee because of the rolling hills and mountainous. Uh-huh. Not like Swiss Alp kind of mountains.
Right.
But like the mountains we have. And yes. I thought, no wonder those people felt at home in North Carolina and East Tennessee. It yes. looks like that.
Yes.
No wonder they make whiskey here. That's what they did there. Yes. Like all those kinds of things.
Yes.
Where it's like, well, they just came and did what they knew.
Yeah.
In a place that looked similar.
Exactly. Yes. So the question on the table, you know, with things always changing around us, the people, the places, the landscape. How do we preserve the stories of what was the roots of our people that are so important? We've talked even on here before that, you know, you were born into a place or a region and into a precise family for a very unique reason.
Yeah.
And so embrace that. Like, if you don't know it, maybe that's a searching out for mm-hmm. you. But from our perspective, this is home to us. And so preserving this sorts of culture is really, really important. You're smiling because I don't know what you're wanting to say now.
I'm just smiling because I think I have so many things running through my head. One, sometimes you can feel like, was I born in the right family? I feel so different than so many of the people in my mm-hmm. family or something. But if you really, you know, step back and God will show you the why.
That's true.
You know, that kind of thing. And the parts to cherish from your family and the things that you can thank him that he's brought you out of.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I kind of got
would be willing to bet that most of us point to like the reasons why we shouldn't have been born in this time or in this family or in this place.
Yeah.
It's easier to see the why we shouldn't have versus the why we should.
That is so true, because I've been guilty of sometimes, and the reason I'm saying guilty is I've felt conviction one time of always saying, oh, I should have been born in Jane Austen times. I should have been born in the 1920s. I should have, you know, like I've made those statements probably more than most people have. But there was a reason that I was born for now.
Yes.
I certainly couldn't have had a podcast in those times, could I? Anyway, so I think that my statements like that came out of, oh, because I liked when there were formal dances and men and women danced more.
So or easy I thought to it was glamorize it all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, you know. Depression. The Great Depression. It's very easy to forget that part.
I know. I think about, you know, we all watched Downton Abbey and wanted to live then, but that's assuming you're upstairs, not downstairs. Exactly. All of those kinds of things. Like, you know, we all want to dress like Mary, not like the ones in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Well.
So I'm going to kind of toss it to you because I'm curious as to what your thought was in just answering this question. How do we preserve our Southern culture and our Southern history? Well, the parts that we do feel like we want to keep going, shared.
Right, because of course there's things that we are glad are put to rest.
Right.
Well, I think it's interesting because to me it is so deep. The question is so deep, but yet the answer is actually kind of simple.
Mm-hmm. And I want to correct something I just said. I don't mean we just want to preserve the good parts, because we want to, like, we don't want to rewrite history.
No.
In terms of preservation. I felt like I said that in a way that it might have been spun.
We see some of that happening too, and that's not what we mean.
Yeah. We're just talking about how do we preserve the stories? How do we continue telling of the traditions? And what's the remembrance?
So you just said it. Oh. Actually, those are the words.
Okay.
To me, I think of remembering, storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I actually, in thinking through some of this, I actually had a sweet time of just jotting some things down that were coming in my mind in prayer.
Wow. Cool.
Because really, this is very much what God does with, look at the Israelites. That's what I kind of mentioned to Donald Davis of like, oh, as you're saying this, like you're a former minister. Don't you see this in the Word of God? Like,
right.
Where he's always having them remember things.
Yeah. The Passover meal is a good example of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Remembering the story.
When I brought you out of Egypt.
Yes.
He was always having them do like these Ebenezer stones of like when something happened and you put this stone. Mm-hmm. So you'll always remember that. Mm-hmm. Even communion.
That's a big one.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a reason he wants us to continue to take it on a regular basis. Because we need to remember what that was.
Yeah.
And is.
Yeah. And those sorts of tangible things like the bread and the cup are they're visual so that the younger generation coming up behind us, even if they're not understanding
the
vernacular of it or the weight of it, but they see the people around them partaking of that. And so
And even that I think is a beautiful thing when we repeat things that our elders did.
Yeah.
Whether that, and we'll get into some practicals of that. But I just, as I was thinking through that, I was also thinking about how repetition, I wrote this down, and this is must be Holy Spirit because I'm not this smart. Repetition makes recall easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you're forgetting who you are, forgetting, you're in a shaky ground moment of whatever. If it's really in you, like from repetition, you can recall it even when you don't feel it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I think about how repetition is so important because you can rattle it off in a moment when you're not clearly knowing who you are.
And I think I've heard it said another way in kind of more of a psychology sort of term of like, I don't remember, there's probably even some other steps into it, but kind of like thoughts
lead to actions
lead to habits. Like there's sort of these steps of how you get to
good character.
Yeah. Or bad character.
Or bad character. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it didn't just happen overnight. Exactly. It was thought after thought, after action, after right.
So that repetition.
Yeah.
I understand.
And then I was also thinking of just the importance of being firm in what you know of who you are. Mm-hmm. Not that you're not open to other people's way of doing things. I don't mean that, like that you're like, oh, our food is the best or our music is better than yours. I don't mean that. But you're just like, no, this is who I am.
Yes.
Because, and it got me thinking of how trees that have deep roots, they can't be swayed very easily. If the roots are not very deep, you know, they're easily to topple over. Mm-hmm. But when roots are deep, it's really steady and strong wind.
Yes.
And that got me, I'm not going to go into all this, but I started looking up scriptures that, and I wrote down 6 different scriptures that I found about that.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, I can put it in our show notes if anyone wants to look that up.
Anyway, and also I was thinking of how, another Bible reference, but in Deuteronomy 6 and 11, God's talking a lot about telling your children, like, you know, in your coming and your going, and just telling your children about him and about who they are. That stuff's very important.
Yep.
And so it's the same from the spiritual as in the natural.
Right.
Of here's who your ancestors are. Yeah. Here's why we do this. Here's the music that we, you know, listen to every Christmas.
Yes.
That kind of thing really gets in you.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start by just saying that, I mean, not that we haven't started, but because we're on people, I think you can ask anyone that has lost great grandparents and grandparents early on in life, didn't have them at all, maybe even up into mother and father parental roles. If they feel any sort of like a lack of knowing who they are just from those roles being absent in their life, I think you're going to hear a resounding, like, I kind of wish I would have had more time with this grandma, or I've heard about this uncle, but I never got to meet him. Or
I have a lot of that.
People
in
our own nuclear families carry so much weight in terms of the, I guess I'll just call it oral traditions.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds so formal, but because it could be a story that, you know, shouldn't be published. It's not like a great story, but it's just something that, I don't know,
that we
stuck out to you for some reason that somebody in your family mentioned, and maybe you've heard it more than once, and maybe every time it gets told, it's a little different, or you're not even sure if it's true anymore. But those sorts of oral traditions are hugely important in terms of preserving culture. So I would say, I don't know how to categorize it other than the people and the storytelling of oral traditions.
Well, yeah. And one of the things I jotted down here was, to your point, is in the how do we do this, I just wrote down media.
Yes.
Because media in general, you can... jokingly wrote down you could start a podcast because that's what we did.
Well,
I could write a book.
Yes. My whole list is pretty much media, honestly. I just feel like it carries such weight.
Yeah. So. And it can outlive you.
Yes.
Right? Media can outlive you. So I think about what Foxfire is doing, where they're sending out young people to interview elderly people in Appalachia to keep their stories alive, to keep their traditions alive, to keep their recipes alive, to keep their way of whatever, whittling sticks alive.
Remedies for mosquito bites or, you know, a head cough. Because
those people have died and will be dying.
Right.
So let's keep all their knowledge alive.
Yeah. We did do a whole episode on Foxfire, so I'll link to that in our show notes so you can go back and listen to that if you missed it. But I do want to just mention real quick, if you're like, what is Foxfire? So in 1966, a struggling English teacher at a school in Northeast Georgia, he asked his students, what would make school more interesting? And they decided to create a magazine featuring stories gathered from their families and neighbors about the pioneer era of Southern Appalachia, as well as traditions still thriving in the region. The students called it Foxfire after the glow-in-the-dark fungus found in the local hills. This spark of an idea turned into a phenomenon of education and living history, exploring how our past contributes to who we are and what we can become, how the past illuminates our present and inspires imagination. So, yes, we love organizations. Foxfire is an incredible example of it.
Yeah.
That promotes students to go interview someone to get to know who they are and where they came from. And
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So education is huge. I might go ahead and name just a couple of other sort of educational groups that are doing good in the work of preservation. There's a group that is part of the Institute of the Center for the Study of Southern Culture at the University of Mississippi.
Okay.
They're the Southern Foodways Alliance. They also have a podcast. They host events. They create films.
That's right.
They even teach you how to, you know, go do research yourself. I mean, they're very thorough in the ways that they're trying to carry on and preserve culture. I mean, there's a bunch out there that are tied to college campuses, community centers, libraries.
Yes.
Of just vested citizens. I'm sure there's probably many.
So grateful for all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So I would say
I think about, you know, just seed exchange groups that are keeping heirloom seeds going, you know, because that stuff will die away otherwise.
Yeah.
So all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, we said our podcast at the front end of this is, you know, this is our effort to participate in this work as well. I want to mention another podcast that we have been a fan of and really enjoy.
Yes.
Vanishing Postcards is, please go ahead and just jot that down or we'll link to it in our show notes. But, you know, it's been said that if you want to get your finger on the pulse of a nation, just take a cruise down America's Main Street. And one of our favorite podcasts, Vanishing Postcards, is inviting you to do just that this season. The host is Evan Stern. He motored cross country on Route 66 and he encountered everything from an eating contest in the Texas Panhandle to a morning on the Santa Monica Pier. Vanishing Postcards is, I would call it like an immersive experience.
He's so great.
The way he tells stories, the way he interviews, the way he brings sounds into the experience.
Because you feel like you're with him.
You absolutely feel like you are on the trip with him. And so he's funny. He's touching. It's just an incredibly unique experience.
Yeah. He's a Texas native and I love Texans.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Check out Vanishing Postcards wherever you get podcasts and tell Evan we said hi.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a local that I want to mention.
Tell us.
So I'm sure that there are these kinds of wonderful people all over the Southeast and the South, but on any given Sunday, weather permitting, in downtown Franklin, you might come across a free show on the public square.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a clogging dance group that has been going for, I believe, like 40 years.
Okay.
By Tommy Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tommy Jackson is, he is a native here. I think his story is hilarious on how he got into clogging.
Okay.
Because it's clogging and buck dancing.
Yes.
Which is certainly a part of our culture.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff, you got to have people to carry on the tradition.
Yep.
That's not happening in the nightclubs anymore.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to keep this going. And Tommy got into dance. This is so funny to me because there was a girl he was interested in a young age.
Oh.
And his parents said, well, she only dates dancers.
Oh.
So guess what he learned how to do?
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that.
I think that's so cute. Anyway, so he's all about preservation of this dance. He's in his words, it's a dying art form. So he longs to see this carry on.
Uh-huh.
His lessons are free. And they costume them with yep. just donation money. Yeah. And I just think it's such a beautiful thing. They've performed in dance competitions all over. They've performed like at festivals.
Yes.
They've
yes.
even gotten to, I mean, the goal of all goals, the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
So his group is called the Rocky Top Review.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's renowned in that community. He's accepted an award in Spartanburg, South Carolina, the world championship competition.
Wow.
And he's in, I believe, an Alabama Hall of Fame or something. Wow. I mean, he's really made a name for himself. But the fact that he does that right here on our little square every Sunday is just a beautiful example of what we're talking about.
I can't believe I didn't think about dance. So this is why this is so good to not collectively or not to,
to talk
work together.
We get together.
I didn't have dance on my list.
Okay.
And that is such a good
isn't that
art
a
form.
Yeah.
I did have music.
Yes.
So we saw huge pieces of history this summer even. We saw this well displayed at the National Museum of African American Music here in Nashville, which is a fairly new museum within the last year. We heard it when we interviewed Dr. Paul Kwame of the Fisk yes. Jubilee Singers. We met with a Gullah woman in Charleston, South Carolina this summer.
Yep.
And she and a group of others that she performs with share songs to tell the stories, instruments to tell of the times that they came from, the people that they came from. In Fort Worth, we met a gal who is a part of a group called the Cowtown Opry.
Yep.
And they are committed to preserving, promoting, and performing Western heritage and Western swing music and cowboy culture.
So also free Sunday shows
yeah.
where they're out there mentoring young people. Same thing.
Yeah. So there's all these pockets. I mean, there's yeah. droves of them out there, but thank goodness they're
I
out
know.
There.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
Because they're using music as the art form to communicate and preserve and share those stories. I mean, I think an obvious one is books. You mentioned that earlier,
yeah.
but we need to make sure libraries and archives stay around.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't appreciate those libraries or archives as a child, but now I regularly go to the library.
Yeah.
Sometimes with my son to the children's section, but sometimes for this podcast.
And making sure that stays free.
Yeah.
You know, is really important.
Yeah. Historical landmarks and tours, those are
that's a great
very
one.
Important to storytelling and making sure that people and places continue to be recognized.
Well, you mentioned Southern Foodways Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
I think even in keeping with, you know, bring that on down home to your own family, like cooking with your grandma or
mm-hmm.
the elderly people in your family, learning how they make those things. They may not have those recipes written down. They likely
yes.
don't.
Yeah.
So just making sure you're going to glean so much from time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And just even keeping those things going so
yeah.
that when you know, 20 years from now at Christmas and you're wanting grandma's mm-hmm. gingerbread recipe mm-hmm. that you know how to make it.
Exactly. I'm so glad you mentioned food because that kind of points back to our Southern Cookbooks episode just a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that discussion revolved around traditions and history. And
well, I'll tell you something
It's
funny.
More than just how something turns out, you know,
that's right.
That the recipe is just right and tastes good. There's nostalgia that is packed
part
in
of
there.
That.
Yeah,
you know the woman that I mentioned, that I said I was really thought her cookbook looked like it would stand the test of time. The Gullah Geechee,
yes,
Emily Meggett,
yes,
I think is her name,
yes,
matriarch of Edisto Island.
Yes,
she had to have help on writing those recipes out because she did things like a handful of this and like she just knows how to make it.
Wow.
So to do the cookbook, she had to actually like measure
have measurements.
Yeah, to know how to tell somebody else. And that's what I'm talking about.
Which like, how classic is that, right? I think a lot of us have had that experience. If you like cooking or have been
in one with somebody that's...
You'll just know.
Yeah.
Just eyeball it.
Just add a little.
Yeah.
How much is a little?
Just check on it every once in a while. What am I looking for? Like, just tell me. Yeah. That's real. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So funny.
That's very cool.
Well, I think about even other mediums of art. Mm-hmm. Quilting.
Oh, good one.
Sweetwater basket.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. The handmade goods.
That stuff. I mean,
especially the ones that take a long time.
Right.
Where the stories and the traditions oftentimes are being shared while making it.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
That was what was so beautiful about those quilting groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. They solved all the world's problems while they made those quilts.
That's right. They were encouraging each other. And
I know.
Yeah. They were a community for one another.
And, you know, it's interesting in our culture now, not meaning Southern culture, just meaning the times we live in. Mm-hmm. Things are so fast. Mm-hmm. So teenagers don't want to sit down and learn how to quilt or make a Sweetwater basket.
No.
They want to...
No.
They Something wanna... that's going to be done in 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Order on Amazon. It'll be here tomorrow. Yeah.
I mean, so this is yet another reason we have to just make it happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to just happen.
Yeah.
It's every single thing we've mentioned takes intentionality.
Oh, yeah. I've mentioned a lot of times on here, but I mean, it bears repeating. The power of films as well. Feature films, or even just in the sort of the world we live in now, just any sort of even streaming. How many people got a new picture of Elvis in his life, and specifically his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, from the Elvis movie this year? I know I did.
Yeah.
I had no idea some of the stories that unfolded from that, and Some of them broke my heart.
I know you think, well, you know, the glamorous life, it didn't look too glamorous after that.
No, but it stuck with me. I have so many visuals now of what was portrayed in that. There's another feature film coming out later this year on the faith that Johnny Cash experienced in his life. And I guarantee there'll be new facets of Johnny Cash that
we didn't
we
even
will learn
know about.
From, and we, that's yeah, something.
Films are powerful.
Yeah. So, you know, people do a lot of work with interviews of family and friends to put together those sorts of films. I mean, they don't just happen, like you were saying, a lot of intentionality. And, you know, I mean, of course, you can be like, well, how much was it fact checked, or what sort of liberties were given, right, to the creative sort of nature of it. But what we do know is that film is powerful, and it's definitely a way to preserve culture and tell of historical people and events and places. So
that's right.
That's a big one.
I would even say festivals.
Oh, good
you
one.
You know, that's another way of keeping traditions alive.
Yes.
Understanding more about your culture, meeting people that are similar there, and that can go in any direction. That could be music, that could be foodways, that could be art. I mean, there's a jazz, you know, there's jazz festivals in New Orleans to keep all of that going. There's the Sweetwater Festival, thinking about those baskets. Mm-hmm. There's cornbread festivals that are
so true.
I mean, look, so many different kinds of directions, but festivals are a place you can learn more about your people.
Yeah.
Or your culture.
I love that. That's so perfect. And we mentioned the storytelling festivals that, you know, they're all around.
Yeah.
The one we mentioned was in the one in Jonesboro in October.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, festivals. That's
festivals
awesome
are a good one. And I even just think about traditions. I mean, your family may have some or may not, but you can start them if they don't.
Yeah.
Your culture may have some that you tap into.
Right.
You know, I think about anytime there's gatherings for a purpose, be that weddings or funerals or birthdays, oftentimes there'll be something that you start to do year after year.
Yes.
Right?
Repetition.
That's that repetition again.
Yeah, yeah.
I think about a family we know that they always, for birthdays, they make the person's favorite meal, and they have a time of blessing where everybody's just praying for that person and speaking life into them. And here in the South, weddings often have a lot of traditions, be that special family ones or cake pulls at the...
Oh my gosh, we did a whole episode on that too. Yeah, Southern weddings and all the traditions. And
yeah, burying the bourbon bottle to hope, yes, hope for the good weather. I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of things that it seems silly in the moment, but that it's just something that continues to keep going. Mm-hmm. And there's something special in that.
And the thing I love about all of this that we're describing is if you love any of this that you're hearing and you just didn't know that this was a part of the culture here,
jump in
the if you water don't like is it, just fine.
That's right. If you don't like it, come up with your own.
You don't have to be from here to, you know, preserve the right, the stories. If you enjoy this, just come on alongside us. That's right. And start it in your family or start it in your friend group.
And
or,
it's never too late to start a new tradition. I mean, we have some that we've done for 2 years and some we've done for 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, the important part is, like you're saying, these all factor in to helping stories carry on and
people to know who they are.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, that was the completion of my list. Did you have
The only thing I was trying to remember, what was that? Because I thought it was a good mention. It didn't go that great when I got it for our dad, but do you remember that thing where he would get the emails to answer questions? Yeah, what was that group called?
Story something.
Yeah.
We can put
it in the show notes.
It prompts you in a weekly email,
Weekly email with questions for them to answer, and I thought it was such a beautiful experience to keep stories going.
Yes.
My dad did so-so on the participation of this, but I think it's just one avenue. Mm-hmm. You know, some people like to grab stories on video cameras, or now everybody has that on their phones, but
just
keeping things alive.
It's helpful with the prodding, because, you know, sometimes great stories come and it's just because the question was asked. It wasn't,
and you
wouldn't
have even known to ask that question.
Yes, and it wasn't that person was withholding the information. They just hadn't thought about it. Yeah. They didn't know it was, you know, interesting to you or, yeah. So.
And you can find out things that you never would have found out about that loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they ask some really good questions.
They do. Yeah. So we'll link to that in the show notes. Okay. Keep on keeping on.
Keep on remembering and retelling.
Plug in. Share this podcast with your friends to help the stories continue.
Peace be with you, Larva.
Thank you. And also with y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.